Okay, the recorder's on. This is World Affairs Monthly, and I have Mr. Kevin Kilgore on the line. He's the chief of police of the city of Sebastopol. And I should say a few things about Sebastopol just to introduce. The population of Sebastopol is about 8,000 people, so it's a small town. It's about 16 miles east of where I am on the Pacific Ocean in Bodega Bay. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Great to talk to you. And I know you don't have too much time. You're pretty busy there in Sebastopol. Joking, of course. I thought I'd give you a call because I saw the other day on Nextdoor.com that... Are you there?
I am.
Yeah. Nextdoor.com. That a woman had a bad experience with her catalytic converter, you know, actually was stolen by thieves. She didn't provide too much information. And I thought, well, probably it was at night. But I was really kind of surprised because I think Sebastopol probably does have a reputation for being, you know, super low crime. Nothing pretty much happens there, just like Bodega Bay. And I thought, well, maybe I should call the police department to get the facts. I'm going to just introduce the idea of catalytic converters here for a second, the basic facts. Okay, palladium, platinum, and rhodium, precious metals, are in these converters. And that's why they're sought after right now, because the price of palladium has gone to, let's see, in 2015 it was $500, and now it's $2,400. And platinum was about 2000 to 2003, it was $250 to $500, now it's $1,000. And rhodium was always about $500 to $1,000, and now it's $16,000. So we can understand why the thieves want these things. I thought it would be great, Kevin, to, and thanks so much for giving me a call, to see if you could provide me the basic facts about what's going on over there.
Yeah, so catalytic converter thefts kind of ebb and flow, and much of it has to do with the price of the metals that are inside the catalytic converters. Some vehicles are more easily accessible to the catalytic converter for thieves than others are. So we see a lot of catalytic converters that are coming from Toyota vehicles. We get a lot of catalytic converter thefts from Priuses and also Toyota pickup trucks because they seem to set up a little bit higher. They're easier to get underneath. They're more easily accessible. Okay. They can be cut in a fairly quick manner. And then the thief is in and out and before anybody is very much aware of it. But it ebbs and flows, and it depends on the price of the metals as it goes forward. We've seen very minimal thefts of catalytic converters over specific years when the dollar is lower.
Okay.
And then as that dollar creeps up on those special metals, the thefts tend to increase as well.
Now, what kind of numbers are we talking about? You know, because I was figuring maybe a couple of a year, or I mean, now it's probably quite high, right?
Yeah, and in Sebastopol, our numbers are not as quite as high as what they would be in a more populated city.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, we see somewhere between 15 and 30 of those at, you know, as of today.
Oh, really?
Not just for the this year. I'm talking over about the last 18 months.
I see. Okay.
But other cities are seeing higher numbers
than that. Of course. Okay. So,
especially if they're more populated cities
and
if they're more accessible cities.
Okay. And this is usually at night. Is that right? The thieves want to get to it at night or not?
Yeah, typically the thefts are happening at nighttime under the cloak of darkness.
And public streets? Public streets or even in the driveway?
Well, they're public streets and private property if vehicles are parked in the driveway and easily accessible as well.
Yeah. Now, does this surprise you? You know, because I was thinking, well, Sebastopol probably is pretty impervious to this you know, crime wave that we're seeing. You know, recently, I mean, defund the police movement is pretty serious, and so you know, the criminals are thinking, hey, we might have some more opportunity here. But do you think that's what's going on, or is this the price of the darn converter?
No, I'm not surprised by it. You know, these are always crimes of opportunity.
Yeah.
And those crimes of opportunity, any place, any city or county or area might be subject to those crimes of opportunities.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't think that it has anything to do with the defund narrative.
I just
think that these are these are crimes of opportunities that people will take advantage of, just as if you were to leave a laptop sitting on a table at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Someone might come by and take that and use that to their benefit. Okay. This is another one of those crimes of opportunities that is fairly simple for them, and you know, it may not come with as stringent of jail time as what other crimes might be.
Now, the crime is organized, do you think, or is it just you know, individual lone wolf type guys doing this? I take it as mostly women.
You know, I think that it has the potential for being both.
Okay.
Sometimes it's going to be organized with a larger group of folks, and sometimes it may be somebody who's just looking to benefit for themselves.
Yeah, and now are they going to take it up to Windsor, where I can't remember the outfit up there that they have cars up there? You know, what do you call that place up in Windsor? You probably know about it. You know, where do they sell these things? Who do they give them to?
I think they sell them all over, but I don't know the exact places that they sell them. I think that they sell them wherever they can get money for them and pad their pocket with it.
And now, most people probably think, well, wait a minute, the big city is the risk. But, you know, what do you do if you're parking overnight, and how much of a risk do you think you take? And then what can the city of Sebastopol do to deter this kind of crime?
Well, I think, as always, you know, people need to take responsibility to make sure that their vehicles are locked. If you have an alarm on your car, that's always a good thing. But obviously that alarm only goes off if doors are open and things like that. So it's always good to put measures in place on the outside of a house if you're parking in a driveway or on a street, such as a light that may come on through movement. That lights things up, maybe an alert to your phone with the different technology that's out there now for different type of cameras that are available for that type of surveillance. Obviously, our officers are always out proactively looking for criminals during the nighttime hours and during the daytime hours, and making sure that if they see any types of behavior that are suspicious, that we're addressing those matters.
Okay. And these thieves are probably coming from outside Sebastopol, do you think, or not? Have you ever caught anybody?
We have. We've worked with some other law enforcement agencies here in Sonoma County where there has been arrests that have been made. To my knowledge, none of those arrests were people who lived in Sebastopol. And sometimes they are within the county, and sometimes they're outside of the county coming in to victimize our county.
Okay. Well, could it be, you know, possible or viable to put video cameras up on some of the streets that might be, I don't know, maybe that's too much to ask, but, you know,
Well, those things are always a possibility, and we're always looking for different technology that would be helpful for us in law enforcement and keep the community safe. Obviously, those things come with a cost, and right now our funding does not allow for that. But hopefully any type of increased funding in the future will allow us to possibly take a look at those different technologies that we might be able to use to our advantage.
Okay. Now, I happened to look up your bio. You know, naturally, I was interested. And I saw that you were at UCLA Police Department for about 20 years. And I wanted just to tell you, I did a little postgraduate work at UCLA, so I used to look at it 40 years ago. Now, the big city life in Westwood there is quite a bit more turbulent, you know, pretty dicey opera. But still, it's a little village there, Westwood. How do you compare it to Sebastopol now? I mean, is Sebastopol going to be kind of like the big city in 20 years? Or, you know, how do you see things working out in terms of, you know, you see my question, is Sebastopol ending up with the same kind of problems that a larger urban metropolis would typically have, or not?
Well, I think that every place is subject to the same types of crimes anywhere you may be, no matter how big or how small.
Okay.
Obviously, in smaller cities like Sebastopol, the numbers are not going to be as high as they would in a larger city like San Francisco or Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But we're still getting the same types of crimes in this city.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked at UCLA, we got the same types of crimes at UCLA that the city of Los Angeles got. We just got them in lower numbers. And that would be the same for Sebastopol. So all of these places are subject to that. And, you know, unfortunately, we live in a time when criminals are kind of have an upper hand with things as there is a reduction in the penalties for crimes that are committed. And so it gives people a greater opportunity to commit crimes that doesn't lead to them being placed in a jail for a very long time.
So punitive measures, or whatever you want to call these things, to deter crime are sort of kind of being abandoned to some degree. Is that correct? I mean, you know,
there's a significant lack of accountability when it comes to holding people accountable for the crimes that they commit. And there are many things that contribute to that. The reduction in the penalties, but also the housing for criminals is not as great. And so, you know, it creates an issue where you have to pick and choose who you're going to keep locked up in the jail and who you're not.
Well, there's a lot of people that are locked up in California, and I don't know. I mean, I suppose, you know, that's a good idea. But on the other hand, you know, there's a lot of people. It's pretty expensive. So maybe the police in general have a big job, and they can't really do that job effectively. So you see what I'm saying with this question? It's kind of, you know, unpleasant. But the police in the big cities, and of course you're not you don't have that problem because you're very small. But the police in the big cities can't really police everybody. You know, can't police everywhere, right? They don't have
the
money to do it.
Well, unfortunately, I think that's present in every city. Even for cities the size of Sebastopol.
Oh, really?
I mean, you figure I've got two officers on duty. Police a population of 7,800 to 8,000 people per day.
So two right now.
We certainly can't. We can't deal with everything that's happening without the assistance of our community.
Right.
And so every police agency relies heavily on our community to provide information, to help be the eyes and ears for us, and to report these things so that we can respond to them. But you know, we're all facing short staffing and limited funding, and so when we have limited funding, limited resources, limited staffing, we can only do so much, and we also have to pick and choose, you know, what are we going to proactively go forward with.
Right. Well, maybe that's the answer to the question. It's pretty interesting idea you present there. The police, you know, is going to be small and obviously unable to do everything. So reaching out to the community and getting them to participate in the enforcement action or whatever you want to call it would be the way to go.
Well, you know, what we asked for from the community is just what you talked about at the beginning. You know, when we see these types of social media posts regarding crimes that have occurred and things like that, we want people to contact us.
Sure.
We can't know about all of the things that are happening unless people contact us. So we always encourage people to give us a call and let us know.
Okay.
Posting to social media is great, but we are not able to follow social media 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So
we need people to call us
and
let us know about these things that are happening so that we can respond out there and hopefully address and mitigate these issues that are occurring.
Okay, well, great. You know, Kevin, it's thanks for spending the time. We're at 13 minutes or so. I've got nothing more to add. Anything you want to say at the conclusion here?
I appreciate the time, and thank you so much.
Okay, good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right, Thomas. Thank you. Bye-bye.